Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. We got C-Note coming up at 3:20. What Mike has said about tanking and what Jerry thought of that. But right now, NFL news of the day. Here's Chief.
Okay, so Mike McCarthy just had a little presser and doesn't look like Zach Martin will be practicing.
No, I don't think him and Ferguson are going to play this week.
Sure, yeah. Sure. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But he does expect, Mike McCarthy says he expects Tyler Smith to practice today.
Yes.
So maybe you get Tyler Smith back for the game on Thursday.
Hopeful.
And then I wonder what they would do. Would they go Hoffman still for Martin? Would they go TJ Bass? I mean, Bobby Hoffman was talking glowingly.
Hoffman did a nice job.
Hoffman did a nice job, and then Bobby was raving about TJ Bass. I saw Bass was like one of the highest graded players on the team from Pro Football Focus as well. So I guess did Bass have a pretty awesome game?
Yeah, they both played really well. I mean, you ran the ball inside. You know, you were effective with those guys with the double team blocks. Did a really good job working with BB as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. I think that's
a healthy
that's,
body in there at right guard. That was a healthy body, you know?
Yeah, for Hoffman.
Yeah, healthy body.
And that dude just plays nasty.
Yeah.
We know that about him. So we'll see. But having some young guys develop on the offensive line, even if it's just depth, there's one guy that you feel like, hey, didn't know he was a starter, but now we think we can go into next season with him as a starter, all that would be hugely positive.
I don't think Austin Richards is going to play this game.
You said he was doing the Chad Johnson pee in the bucket for the ankle healing, right? He was going for it.
He's probably not.
If he goes full Chad Johnson, foot in the bucket, I would expect to see him on Thursday.
I think that's a high ankle sprain. I think we're probably talking a couple weeks on this one, or maybe more. It might be a possibility to get Cooks onto the active roster. You're going to have to make a move. Maybe put him on IR. We'll see.
You think we get Brandon Cooks on Thursday?
Possibility. They were trying to. All indications were he was working the right way, and then he got soreness in his knee, and they shut him down over the weekend is what they did.
All right. Well, I saw from StatHole on Barstool that the Cowboys and Commanders actually set a record for the most points in the final 3 minutes and 6 seconds of a game. And it was crazy in the moment, but now just with hindsight, you're just like, how did this even happen? 41 points
in 3 minutes,
3 minutes and 6 seconds.
Yeah.
From a kickoff return, the other craziness that took place.
Yeah.
You had three of those touchdowns. You had the McLaurin touchdown.
Yeah.
You have the,
he had a 45-yard touchdown, 87-yard touchdown, and a 99-yard touchdown, all one play.
Yeah, yeah. Wanye Thomas with the – that helps things with the sort of the walk-off there.
That's just 21 points.
Yeah, and then they had, multiple field goals involved.
Then you had the – didn't the Commanders score right before they – the 87-yard touchdown. They
Excuse me, 26 points. I said 41. I apologize. It was 26 points.
I was trying to add
points.
Them up. I was going to, okay.
Yeah, we were going to get lost there trying to add them up. That would have been bad if I left you there trying to put those numbers together.
Gosh. I was trying to think, like, what the
hell?
It
felt like 40.
It felt like 1,000. It God, was 26 was... points, but that's a record. That's a record for the final 3 minutes and 6 seconds of a game because, of course, it is. That was the most ridiculous ending to any game that I can remember, Cowboys or not. So just another installment of holy smokes, we just witnessed a crazy game. Now, McCarthy's having himself a nice day with what Jerry went on with Sean and RJ and was glowing about him. Now, of course, it's like, what else is he going to say in a situation like that? You're not going to just hang your coach out to dry, especially off a win where his team could have easily just tried to quit on him throughout the entire game and they never did. What brought us?
Lucius is watching some wild stuff today.
He always is.
This is
what's
this,
on. What's Lucius, what's in store?
Is
it lowrider chicks?
It's a military. I just looked down. It's this military guy disarming people. Like he is.
Yeah, it's like special forces training or something.
Yeah, this guy is like they're pointing a gun at his head. He's now got the gun and he's pointing it at them. He took a knife right out of this guy's hand and put it right in his ribs. I mean, this guy.
I'm trying to learn, bro.
I'm sorry.
The season out here.
I was listening to Eric.
The jukes is up out here,
I
man.
I looked down and this guy is just like headbutting dudes and all kinds of stuff going on here.
The headbutt is one of the most alpha ways to fight somebody.
It's a doc. Oh, my bad.
No, you're good.
What's it a documentary on, Lucius?
It's called The Game Changers.
Okay.
It's about vegan bodybuilders.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, this dude is like in the military and he's disarming everybody. Like they're trying to, he's throwing dudes on the ground, taking their weapons and all kinds of stuff. It's crazy.
Without meat? Wow.
Yeah. That is a miracle.
Without meat.
You think about going vegan, Lucius?
No.
Bruce Lee
I like
vegan?
Fish a lot. I like shrimp a lot. Chicken yard bird. I love a good yard bird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had Wingstop 3 times last week. I can't do it.
It's a down week, huh?
how do we do in the final weigh-in? Did you end up losing some pounds?
No, when is the final weight? Because I ate it today.
Yeah, it was supposed
I ate
to be,
lunch.
It was supposed to be today.
Oh.
I think Dawson is going to be the clear
down
winner.
12 pounds.
Clearly, yeah. I probably missed maybe 2 or 3.
It's amazing what happens when you don't have zingers for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Dude.
You know? I mean.
I feel amazing. I really do. I never want a sweet for the rest of my life or at least till Thursday. By the way, mom this morning said, looks like she's going to crank out 2 of the world famous sugar cream pies Sunday night so
yes.
I can deliver them to you guys on Monday.
There you go.
Oh,
thanks, mom.
This is such a great time of year.
We got everything cleared
out.
She's
amazing. So yesterday they put together my counters because the insurance job still hasn't come back to complete the kitchen reconstruction after the big insurance job over the summer. Yeah. And this morning she's reupholstering the bench at my kitchen table. I'm just like, dang, mom.
Way to go.
Dude, you want
to
move in?
Yeah, seriously, man. I love it.
Eric's got some pipe problems. Maybe you can come over there and help them. Like,
wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. Well, and my plumbing's all messed up as well. So if you guys can get a figure on that, that's really my big problem.
Yeah. We'll get you all taken care of.
Now, here was...
You're such a jerk. Nice lady. Golly. You want to do crap like that.
Wow.
You're so embarrassing. You really are.
After
why couldn't you be gone to a wedding today?
After, because my friends don't get married on Tuesdays. Call me crazy, but my friend group is not a Tuesday wedding kind of group.
You think Woolchuk's pulling one on us here?
Like, oh, absolutely.
Because he knows, like, he's got to work the game on Thursday.
It's probably like an 8 o'clock wedding tonight, but
because Eric basically told him at the last minute, hey, bro, you got the Thursday shift with Broadus for the whole day. He did.
He worked the
Pittsburgh game. Remember that?
Yeah.
He did the Pittsburgh game.
Yeah, do you remember that when we went to the wee hours of the morning because the game was delayed because of lightning strikes?
Nah.
I do remember that. I remember not getting home until 2:30 in the morning.
Eric walks up to him like this week. He goes, hey, bro, by the way, you got the full game on
Don't forget.
You got the full game
You're
on
You're in my pocket now.
He spun his wheel of excuses like, I haven't used this one yet.
Yeah.
Surely they'll believe this
the
one.
A Tuesday wedding. Sure.
I already paid a deposit, guys. Nothing I can do about it.
You got to suit and everything. Here's First Take and Shannon Sharp and Dominique Foxworth actually talking glowingly. Maybe we have to look at McCarthy in a different light.
Sure.
He had 2 top 10 quarterbacks in the history of the game, and he got 1 Super Bowl appearance out of that.
Yeah,
I would argue, based on what we've seen from Aaron Rodgers recently, that that's a damn success. Congratulations, Mike McCarthy. You managed to get a Super Bowl out of Aaron Rodgers while having Aaron Rodgers in your locker room. That seems like some incredible interpersonal magic that he has displayed. He managed to keep that locker room together. So Mike McCarthy got some magic that we don't know about.
So you feel like Mike McCarthy should stay as the head coach?
Yeah, I think Mike McCarthy should stay.
That's a pretty good observation there. With the way Aaron Rodgers, not even really just the way he's playing, but of course just who he is and managing that. It's kind of like after the fact when Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell left Pittsburgh, and then you realize like what Mike Tomlin was really having to hide from and to deal with all those years.
PhD in chemistry.
I don't know. Good day to be McCarthy, but Broadus puts it at 0% chance that McCarthy's back next season. So that's encouraging.
I'm going to say zero. There.
By the way, in about 8 minutes, we have Mike McCarthy's response to what Jerry said this morning. That you can't rule it out.
Did he say it's just like anything?
I did not click the audio. I just heard him laughing as the question was asked. So I can't wait to hear it with you.
Wonderful. All right. Here is maybe the guy who ends up replacing Mike McCarthy last night on the Manning cast. Hanging out with Peyton and Eli for the Harbowl. And previously, before Vrabel joined the program, it was Owen Wilson and Luke Wilson, the two actor brothers. And Owen Wilson had a funny story about Urban Meyer. They played in some charity flag football game. Urban Meyer was his coach for the game. And Owen Wilson has a game-winning interception. And Urban Meyer's like, wait, who are you? Like, he was coaching his team. He didn't even know who Owen Wilson was. So Mike Vrabel hears that story and has one to follow up with here. In regards
to
Urban
Meyer. Definitely.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, I can relate with Owen Wilson. I was listening earlier, and, you know, Urban Meyer asked him, do I know you? And Urban Meyer, I was coaching the Titans. He was coaching the Jaguars, and he actually said the same thing to me. I said, yeah, I'm the head coach for the Titans, and I worked for you for 2 years. Oh, that's just like his line. Oh, yeah. I love it.
I love their response to that. They just don't know what to do with they just laugh it off for a few minutes. Yeah. But yeah, because Vrabel was on staff at Ohio State when Urban Meyer was the coach there.
Wow.
And then years later, they meet head to head, Titans head coach and Jaguars head coach, and Urban Meyer's acting like he doesn't even know who this guy is.
Wow. It's like me with some of the part-timers around here. How long have you been working
here? It's a little bit more understandable.
Been here 4 years, Dawson.
It is so funny. Urban Meyer just continues to be a perennial bleep hole of the week. Wolchuk just texted me, by the way.
By the way, I wanted to mention, looking forward to that note from Wolchuk, I think they need to put Brady with the Manning cast because that's his pace. Where we see things and there's awkward silence for 8 seconds and you kind of chuckle about it, bang, save his career.
It is one of the funniest things about watching the Manning cast is just the awkward interactions, people stepping on each other. It's a very difficult thing to execute there.
They can't get the dudes in the same room, can they?
They just can't. They refuse to.
Yep.
They refuse to. Well, Chuck texted me, said the wedding is in Azle and Tell brought us to go bleep himself.
Yeah.
That dirty bleep hole, piece of bleep.
Yeah.
So that was that's a direct quote there
Azle.
From Broadus or from Wolchuk.
How far is
all the
Azle?
Way in Azle.
That's far.
It's way past even my place. That would take me like 30 minutes to get there minimum. But maybe I'll go out there and crash that wedding just to lay eyes on Wolchuk and make sure he's really there, cutting it up, you know, for a Tuesday wedding.
Tuesday wedding
on Thanksgiving week.
Yeah, on Thanksgiving.
Things really the stars aligned for
things
him.
Will do.
Boy,
for
you must have got a hell of a bargain on that wedding hall.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's true. With this holiday week Tuesday, you're probably looking at 75% off.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And I got a lot of respect for that. You know. I mean, get a little budget deal going. These wedding venues are through the roof.
Yeah.
Just find a yard somewhere that you can go ahead and tie the knot, make it honest, and make it happen.
They're just happy to get a little business. Probably the first late November wedding they've done.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Now, at least it's not on a college football Saturday.
Yeah.
You know, like I can at least respect that if nothing else.
Question. Would Wolchuk go if it was a Saturday wedding on college football Saturday?
No.
No.
No. Hell no.
He wouldn't show up to his own wedding.
No, he would not. No.
No, I'm telling you, man, this younger generation, as soon as they start feeling a little burnt out, they feel like they're owed a couple of days off. You know?
Yeah.
I feel like that's fairly normal.
254 says they live in Azle. They can lay down some surveillance. That'd be nice if somebody could lay eyes on Wolchuk tonight.
Just drive by. Look for a guy over by the food area there, kind of hanging out.
Is it okay to feel for a Philadelphia Eagle, like to have compassion?
As a human, sure. You know, some of them can't help it.
That's where I'm at with Brandon Graham right now.
Oh, he
tears the triceps. Yeah. He's out for the season and
that
probably
might be
forever
his last
now.
One. Yeah.
He's acknowledged it. Probably going to be done. Still a really good player after all these years setting the edge for the Eagles. And he went on the radio and talked about it and actually got so emotional and started crying.
Oh, geez.
So I didn't know if that was Dawson would be perturbed by that, but it was really just to tee up the opportunity to ask Eric Kendricks later on in the program. When is it okay to sports cry?
Yeah.
And when was the last time you did sports cry?
I think the sports cry is fine. The crying is good. Like I saw, I retweeted this video of a dad giving his son a dog and the kid breaks down. It's like the greatest day of his life. And I was feeling the emotion there. Right. And Brian was in the room with me as we were getting ready for the show, but I'm not going to turn to him and be fighting off tears, you know, or let the cry voice come out. Unless it's extreme circumstances.
Right.
You know,
you
and
just
if,
eat that.
If it does, you'll hear, you know, and me man back up and continue the conversation.
You got to growl your way out of those situations.
No, I think the play is to show people I am human, right? Even though I am a man and the world expects me to be a robot of masculinity, toughness, and production, you know, I still have a heart, right? But my brain tells my heart to shut up when it's time, and it feels like I'm getting embarrassed. I think that's the bottom line right there. So I'd have to hear the cut, you know, but I imagine Brandon Graham did it right.
Salute to him, man. And, we'll ask a little sports cry question to Eric Kendricks later.
Yeah.
See what his thoughts after Broadus, of course, gives him his tip of the week.
Yeah.
He might cry about that.
Yeah.
Bro.
He'll definitely bitch about it.
Good news is they got the Giants. I don't know if there's anything New York can do.
Yeah.
They could be at practice this week. Wouldn't have much of a shot. What Micah says about tanking and what Jerry Jones thinks of that, it's coming up next. The G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and rewatch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Dana Carvey and David Spade here.
You might know our podcast, Fly on the Wall, featuring guests from across the entertainment industry.
We decided to do a spinoff called Superfly, and it's fun. It's just two of us riffing on current events, pop culture, catching up, impressions.
Joe, Trump's trying to be a dictator.
Yeah, just bump on the tater tots.
Joe, no.
Listen to and follow Superfly on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back, Nation. Segment here brought to you by the Frankels. Little C-note for you. Cowboys news of the evening. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels and get a free consultation. It's 214 or 817-333-3333. You can jump online at frankelfirm.com. Yeah, we do have another Giants tank move. The New York Giants are tanking. I think that's probably why the players aren't playing for the coaching staff anymore. Azeez Ojulari is on injured reserve now because of a toe injury. Not even that serious. They feel like it's going to take a couple of weeks. So they put them on the shelf, shut them down out of an abundance of caution. I wouldn't mind if the Cowboys did that. You know, you have an injury here that impacts next year, and now it's not just one season that's lost, but it's two. But, you know, tanking is one of the clips that we'll get to here from Jerry Jones in a minute. Before we get there, Jerry Jones on with Sean and RJ this morning was asked about Mike McCarthy and if it's a crazy idea to consider that they'll be doing a new contract with him at the end of the season. Here's Mike at the podium responding to that.
This morning, Jerry Jones said it wouldn't be crazy for you to get a contract extension.
Why are you laughing?
I'll be getting it.
Crazy, I mean.
Just because that we're still talking about this, and here we are in late November, you know, about your future and that kind of thing.
Well, I mean, I really haven't talked about it all year, so I mean, definitely not going to start on a short week in an important division game. But I'm not going to throw away positive vibes either, so I'll keep them coming, but that's all good. But that's not something I'm really focused on.
Hell of a question though from Calvin. You know, and I thought hell of a response from Mike McCarthy, but I think you could tell in his answer he kind of acknowledges in there that you know, maybe it's a long shot, or I can use all the positivity I can get right now.
No, good for Bobby Belt for asking the question this morning to get Jerry going on it. And then, you know, Calvin, you know, follows up that way. That was a good deal. You kind of get the answers. But, yeah, I Jerry will tell you there's plenty of the season left, and, you know, we'll see how this thing all plays out, though. Me personally, Eric asked me, I don't think Mike's coming back.
No. That's one of the questions that a lot of people are asking me when you're out and about and hanging out with friends. And it's I think it's 0% chance, you know, even if you would, you know, somehow get in at 9-8, you'd be roadkill. And in the balance of the entire season, you'd look at it and say it's definitely time to move on. The only thing that gives me a little bit of pause is the players keep playing for him. They like playing for him. And he knows the Jerry Jones thing, you know, right, what you're expected to do and not do in order to. And that sort of trustability, I think, is going to weigh in Jerry's mind a little bit, but not enough, you know, to overrule anybody.
Unless they go on some type of miracle run here where they end up winning a heck of a lot more games than we would have ever anticipated, I would still imagine that you would have to get a new play caller. Like, Mike, if you're coming back, we're not running the same offense anymore.
Yeah.
See, that's, can't do that.
That's kind of where I told you guys about what I would do. So if you're new to the program, welcome. But I would, you know, I would have asked him, like, listen, do you think Shoddy could give some play calling? Let's see. And the minute he said no, then I would have fired him.
Yeah.
I would have said, no, okay, well, then I think that we need to part ways here right now. But, you know, Jerry even said this morning, every time that he's ever moved on from somebody, it's been very painful. It's not easy. You know, he doesn't look forward to that. So, but, you know, Mike's contract is up. And, you know, I think Mike McCarthy, I think he knows the situation. You know,
Idea. What Chief just floated, like, McCarthy as a head coach with an offensive coordinator.
Yeah,
I would be excited about that because I think other than designing the scheme and the play calling, Mike gives you what you want in a head coach.
Yeah, but see, that's
maybe get him a game management coach as well.
There you go.
You know, but you get to do the Monday through Saturday stuff as you.
Yeah,
you're going to kind of take stuff off your plate.
So
when it matters.
If he were to say, okay, well, I'll name Brian Schottenheimer the play.
No.
Okay, see, that's
got to be like a legit offensive coordinator hire.
There you go. See, me personally, if I was a general manager, as poorly as it's been on offense, I would have wanted to see if Brian Schottenheimer legitimately could maybe coach this team. Mm-hmm. You know, could this team with him as the primary play caller move the football? I don't know. I won't see that now.
That's right. Why you should go to it. Yeah. I think if you know you're going to move on from Mike McCarthy, then ask for it, because with similar ingredients, a different perspective, a different priority, a different emphasis can work wonders. Okay, how about Jerry from this morning, cut 7. Micah says he's not thinking about tanking. What are your thoughts on it?
Love it. Just absolutely love it. And Micah gets criticized for some of the things that he says. But the way that was articulated is strong, and it was just a succinct statement, and it's the way that it is. we have a young team out there on that field, very young. And we've got some inexperience out there now because of the numbers of injuries that we're dealing with. That'll be better this weekend. I mean, that'll be better Thursday. It'll sure be better 10 days, 12 days from now. Now, that group of young players we're going to be playing with for years to come, they need first downs. They need move the chain. They need touchdowns. They need success on that field, big tackles. So we need to be winning or trying to win, obviously, every down. Now, for those that don't understand tanking, it means that you get the higher that you – or the lower your record is, the higher that you get to draft. That has not come across anybody's mind in this organization. Now, somebody's going to take that and say, well, that's your problem. You got your head up here, you know what? So you don't realize you need to be playing for a higher draft pick, Jones, and you'd do a little better in the draft. Well, I get it. I get all of it, but it's critical to us to get out here and compete. Those guys will be there for us, the ones we want when we get there in the draft.
Well, you know, maybe, depending on how far you drop. I think the chances of getting a great player go up significantly, you know, and by the time you're in the second round, it's like you have a 10% chance. But, you know, I agree that, you know, sometimes a great player falls to you, but you can't use that as saying, well, you know, we got CD at 19. Why couldn't we do that again? It's just unlikely. You need other teams to massively mess up their scouting and mess up their evaluations. I don't think young players need success. You know, success will come when you have learned enough to, you know, meet your talent with experience. And at that point, you're going to go on and have a tremendous amount of success. Mm-hmm. You know, and maybe what's in your best interest is early on to get beat so bad that it fires you up and lights a fire in your stomach that makes you work harder in the offseason than you ever have. Maybe even look at some steroids, Brian. You know how I feel about that? You know,
yeah.
That is the kind of things that I think can leave somebody driven day in and day out because they feel like their career is on the line, their pride is on the line. So, you know, I get what Jerry is saying there. And I understand from Micah Parsons' perspective, a player would never tank. Why do I want to tank? So maybe we draft somebody that takes my job in the future. You know, I want us to not pick at all. I want just all my friends to be around and, you know, no threats. But as an organization, the Giants are out managing you right now is what I would say, Jerry, with their tanking moves. So I want to know more on this, and we go to cut 10. Have you, as the GM, ever thought about tanking when a season goes bad? Here's Jerry.
No, and I know you had a long question, and I gave you a one quick no. I just think the game is too important. The win is too important. You know, you look at a coach, and boy, a coach is sitting there. Don't think they don't add up their wins and losses during their career. And they don't like to have a loss on there if they can just ask for it. And so my point is, for all of us, a win is a very satisfying thing under any circumstance. And it helps you build. And so there's a lot of ambiguity with those draft picks. I've had draft picks that were extraordinarily high that didn't work. I've had them low that knocked it out of the park. And so you've got to weigh what happens when you get the picks and the odds of you knocking one out of the park there as well, as opposed to winning a game.
Okay, so one of the keys to success in business, and I know Jerry knows this, is delaying gratification. Right? Having a low time preference on when you are going to spend your money, right? Folks that have, you know, a high time preference, they have a massive amount of urgency. I need this now. That is what creates financial despair. That is what creates, you know, horrible nutritional habits. Like everything in life is about sacrificing what you want right now so your future self will thank you for it. And I think in sports, like that's that's you know, one of those really inherent truths that everybody understands. We have to sacrifice now for a goal that we're hoping to accomplish in the future. Nobody cares about regular season games. It feels nice, right? Just like having a steak and an ice cream would feel nice right now. But you know that's not what's in the best interest of, you know, your overall health. And I just think, you know, Jerry needs to, you know, come to grips with this idea that you're not giving your fans that much of a ride when you win regular season games. Our bellies might seem a little bit fuller on a Sunday night and a Monday, but in the grand scheme of things, it's the championship that sustains. It's what the Rangers did, you know, 13 months ago that will give us a lifetime of memories, bucket list type of stuff, generations going to playoff games, going to a World Series that I got to experience with my dad. That is the joy. And Jerry knew that when he took over, didn't he? He didn't forget that. What he did is he changed his formula to optimize for engagement. And he's come up with all these fancy ways of explaining it that are just on the edge of being rational enough that I think, you know, you can kind of accept it and be like, oh, okay, he wants to try to win. I can kind of see that. But, you know, a further evaluation, it's just more of the same BS and engagement farming of the fan base that, you know, continues to drive incredible profits for them, but gets them no closer to winning. And, you know, I like the competitive nature of Micah Parsons. I love hearing that kind of stuff from the players, but it's happening in all sports now. You know, if we can't win, if we're just trying to make the playoffs, we're actually taking ourselves farther away from the ultimate goal. I don't know. I guess we're going to have to wait for, you know, a different head of the organization or something drastic to happen in order to, you know, maybe a change in the NFL economy. Right now, you don't have to win the Super Bowl to make hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars.
Sure don't.
No, you just get it, right?
You do.
So that's tough when you take away that incentive from pro sports. Whenever the incentive isn't win and make the most amount of money, all kinds of crazy things can happen.
Yeah, Jerry's made all these owners billionaires, basically, is what he's done.
Yeah,
by pushing for these stadiums and, you know, the things they do in hospitality and things like that. So yeah, they're going to, they're, you know, when people say, well, you know, don't buy his merchandise, don't go to the games. Yeah, that'll affect him, sure, but he is guaranteed hundreds of millions of dollars just from his television revenue.
So just be comfortable. Just have a nice life, you know. Don't get too upset over winning and losing because you're, you know, the owner of the most popular franchise in all of the world. Okay, it is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. We've been hearing him say that. It was interesting to hear him reset it. I don't think we've heard it like that maybe since 2015 when they were on that big five-game losing streak. Sounds of Thanksgiving Pass is coming up at 4 o'clock. Krusty's Corner is next. Brian, where are you taking it?
Yeah, let's talk about this Giants offense. There's one guy I think you really need to worry about. We'll talk about him next.
Bueno, es una patada baja. Hay problemas con el acarreo ahora se acaba Turpin, se escapa Turpin por la banda izquierda, tiene un bloqueo, Turpin, la 20, la 10, anotación de los vaqueros, increíble, qué bárbaro, no puede ser, qué bárbaro por toda la banda izquierda, entrando en las diagonales, Cavante Turpin.
Yeah, brought to you by Ciroc. Please drink responsibly. Speaking of Kay Barbaro, it's time for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's Broadus.
Thank you very much, Sean. Thank you much for Reliant. See, I was talking about Lucius, like Legend had a better connection.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Victor was going. Yeah. Victor was going. But yeah. Legend, you could hear what he was saying.
Yeah, I mean, right.
It was all about that. So good deal there. Okay, Giants coming to town. Talked to some of my buddies at the Giants. They told me I got to get ready for two quarterbacks in this game. He says, I know Eric earlier in the show, I was kind of thinking that DeVito was going to be okay for this, but it looks like that they're getting two quarterbacks ready to play in this game.
Tommy Coldcuts.
Yeah, Tommy Coldcuts.
You still feel good about taking the Cowboys in Survivor if that's the case?
I really don't. Not if Locke plays. I will tell you this, though. This is going to be a Malik Nabers 17-target game after what happened last week with them.
Got a chance to get the turkey leg, huh?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I hear you. Yeah, he's complaining about not getting targets until they're already down by a million points. They're going to force feed him.
Yeah, get ready for this, whether it's DeVito or Drew Lock. I guarantee you this is going to be one of those games that all of a sudden you're thinking like
bring your lunch pail if you're covering.
Yeah, if you're covering Malik Nabers,
bring a hard hat.
Bring a hard hat because this is going to be pretty significant with the number of targets he's about to get. And the thing you got to like about if you're a Giants fan, and not many people out there listening are Giants fans, but the thing with Nabers is that he's one of those guys that's going to line up the majority of his snaps out wide. And he'll sometimes play in the slot when he has to. But when he plays in the slot, he's pretty damn pretty effective at that position. They've targeted him 19 times. And I was curious. I'm like, man, this guy is he always playing outside? But I went back and looked. He's got 19 attempts in the slot, 15 receptions. Now, do you stay out of the slot to avoid Jordan Lewis? You know, that might be in it. You'll probably have Diggs back this week. So that would mean Bland and Diggs on the outside with Jordan Lewis. So depending on how the Giants really, really want to play this, between Bland and Diggs, if you were to go after one of the corners, who would you go after?
Bland, I think he's played less, and I just don't think he's as sticky.
Yeah, I'd probably, if all things were equal health-wise, I would say you would go after Diggs. But I think with where Bland's at in the recovery or whatever, I would want to test him and just see where he's at, especially off a short week. It's like you haven't played in forever, and now quick turnaround. I'd probably be attacking Bland.
I think I would go after Diggs. I think that when you start to talk about playing the ball on the move, I think Bland can play a little better. You know, running with and then, you know, kind of staying. And you're talking about being sticky.
Like the physicality of Bland is definitely higher than that of Diggs.
I think you're going to have to be, in this game, you're going to have to be that way. I think you're going to have to play with a level of physicality on this guy. I don't think that they can allow him just to take over this game, and you know, because I really do believe this with my heart that they are going to target him a bunch in this game. Now, people say, "Well, damn, Brian, they've got Tyrone Tracy as a running back." You know, Tyrone Tracy is a really good back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, averages about 5 yards a carry when you look at him, and the way that he gets it.
Man, you're getting five a pop, and you can't get anything going offensively.
Yeah. Yeah, this is going to be Giants guys again think that they're going to load up and try and run the football. They're thinking that they're going to try and load up. Now, I think they're going to try and make Malik Nabers happy. Myself.
Well, I mean, in the first game, Nabers had 15 targets, 12 catches for 115 yards. He was their entire offense that night.
Could get even more in this football game. They got a couple of good receivers, like say Darius Slayton and Wandell Robinson. Wandell Robinson is a run after catch guy.
Slippery.
Now, like I say, with Tyrone Tracy as a running back, it really doesn't matter where he runs the ball in a way that it's going to be a successful play no matter where he hits it. You know, he could run the ball outside left. He could run it inside right. You know, his game is his ability to have successful runs. And we talk about successful runs, that's 4+ yards a carry. And this guy it doesn't matter. We've dealt with some running backs here the last few weeks that have like, oh, they're really good. Like Brian Robinson was good inside left. Or, you know, or you get Mixon. He was better outside left. This guy, everywhere you look where he runs, where he hits it, there seems to be a successful run for this guy. So the Cowboys have got to be well aware of that. This guy, and I looked up this metric too, because I was saying, well, man, this guy has success against where he runs the ball, and though also though was it light box, is it neutral box, or is it stack box? Stack box, 8 people in the box. We always talk about that one. He's averaging 4.1 yards a carry against stack box. 4 of his 18 runs are 10 plus yards against stack box.
Wow. I didn't think they had a good offensive line.
They don't as pass protectors.
Okay.
They don't. This guy's a good runner, though. I'm selling you.
He's making him look good.
Yeah.
He's legit.
See, this is the thing when we talk about drafting. And this kid came in, he was at Iowa, was Purdue, was a wide receiver. You know, there's a lot to really like about his game. He's a fifth round pick. Yeah. In a very, very deep running back draft. This kid right here, when you watch him, at Iowa catch the football running routes. You watch Purdue running as a running back. This kid's a heck of a player. This is the things I talk about when a back can make a offensive line look better than they are.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you get these guys in a situation where it turns into throwing the football, that's why Tommy Cutlets in his first game back playing again, he's banged up. He's hurt. Because these quarterbacks, and by the way, the Giants did you a favor moving on from Daniel Jones, because Daniel Jones could run the football.
Yeah.
You know, quarterbacks we saw last week, we've seen really kind of all year, quarterbacks that have had running attacks against the Cowboys have had some success. We'll see with Drew Lock. If Drew Lock, I don't think DeVito is interested in running the ball, especially being banged up, but Drew Lock might be. But this is going to be a challenge for the Cowboys offense. If they do not find a way to control Tyrone Tracy, it's going to make that quarterback's job a lot easier. But you watch this team throw the ball and try and protect, it's a problem for them. They've been really banged up at left tackle. They're bad inside. They've got an undersized center that has struggled a little bit with power. And they've got a right guard that gives up pressure and the right tackle that gives up sacks. So they're a team that when you get them in a situation where they have to throw the football, their offensive line lets them down more than not. But really keep an eye on Neighbors this Thursday and then Tyrone Tracy. Those are the two main weapons that you have to worry about with the Giants this week.
Right on, Brian. We won't have a prediction, you know, tomorrow or anything like that, because the KMC Masterpiece is going to be on. And, you know, I know you're going to have the pre- and post-game show Thursday, but you think the Cowboys are still going to win this game?
I feel like the Cowboys are going to win this game, yeah. I do. And I, you know what? I'll take them in bet payoff. I think that they'll
going for it, huh?
Yeah, I'll take my chances that they're playing better run defense.
Yeah.
And they can kind of make these quarterbacks have to make some throws in this game. So I'll take the Cowboys in this one. This week.
I'm going to do that too, Chief. If you don't mind, hopefully I don't give you the curse here.
I
gave Wolchuk the curse. He finally lost on a Thursday night. The moment I ran with him,
mm-hmm.
tried to jump on that train. But I feel like in a short week, and the Giants having the drama that they have,
yeah.
This would be a week where you need the off day to get everybody back on the same page and say, hey, we have a rivalry game. I think it's just toxicity and, you know, finger pointing. And now they shut down Ojulari. It's just I don't know how motivative a Giants team you're going to have to come in here and play on a holiday.
Yeah, they're in tank mode. They are. I mean, they're playing their third string quarterback for financial reasons. Yeah. Like, they have no interest in winning. So it's you guys are probably right. I'm still feeling better about the Packers at Lambeau.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.